30 minutes past 7 on Your Better Mix 99.7. This is a Saturday Lifestyle Show and you've got Rich here this morning. It's great to have your company. And this hour we're going to talk some health and happiness. And of course the lady to talk to about that is Claire Massingham. Good morning, Claire. How's it going with you?
Good morning. I'm fabulous.
It looks great outside. A little bit windy to get that saying. So keep out of the wind, but great day to get out and do some exercise.
It is, yes. I've got my moisturiser ready. Do you always find that your skin gets so dry in winter?
It does.
Here I am talking to a guy about...
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, just the other day I was saying, my skin's getting dry on my elbows. Yeah. No. I confess, no, I haven't. Do you have a problem with that, do you?
I do, actually. I always get rough elbows.
Oh, do you?
There you go. I'm giving away too much here.
Rough elbows. Okay. That's a guy thing, isn't it? Not. Why does our skin dry out in winter? Is it something that just naturally occurs, or is it something that you should be worried about?
No, you shouldn't be worried about it, but it does occur because I think we've got less humidity.
Okay.
And so there's less moisture in the air, and then the wind comes and it dries out your skin as well. Okay. So we've all got the lip balm out at the moment at home.
It's a bit early for, you usually get the southwesterlies around about Ecker time, but it's a bit early, isn't it?
It is.
So, yeah. But anyway, it's a lovely day outside to get out and do some exercise. We're going to talk some health and happiness this morning, and we're going to talk about, I don't know, you probably saw it during the week, big articles right through the paper and all through the media about the government, whether they should bring a fat tax in on fast foods and all sorts of foods that are allegedly no good for you. I can probably put you on the spot here and say yes or no. Is that a good thing?
I would say no. Definite no. I think there is so much more they can be doing rather than just going, oh, quick fix, let's just hike some money on, food that the takeaway foods, or I think I read somewhere it was foods that were high in fat, more than, I think it was 2.3% fat or something in it. But, it's not just the foods that are high in fat that are unhealthy. There's foods that are high in sugar and high in salt and, all the processed foods. So there's just a whole range of things.
I suppose the first thing that grabbed me was that people talk about fat and the content of fat in foods in Australia. But there are nations around the world, for example, around the North Pole, the sort of the high end up there, Eskimos and all that sort of stuff, that eat a lot of whale blubber. And that's high in fat. So why do they not have the problems that we have?
Good question, Rick.
because if you put a fat tax on their food, for example, they'd be raking in millions. But you kind of look at their society and you think, well, is it not just fat? Is it salt intake? Is it sugar, as you mentioned, sugar intake? Is it all the other things combined with that?
Oh, there's a whole lot of things. A lot of it too is the portion sizes of your food. We just eat way too much and we're not out doing much physical activity. So those countries that you just spoke about are probably out doing physical labour and burning off a lot of their their energy, burning off a lot of the calories that they're consuming, whereas we are mainly, office workers, so we not only eat food that's high in fat, sugar and salt, and then we sit down all day and we don't move and burn that energy, so there's a whole lot of factors that come into it.
Okay, so it's kind of interesting, isn't it, because to me, a lot of governments say that the only solution to curing the world's problems is to put a tax on it, whether it be cigarettes, whether it be alcohol, whatever, but do you think that they've worked in the past?
No, there's just, the evidence is just there, isn't it? It didn't work with alcohol. They were going to put the tax, or they did put the tax on all of the prepackaged drinks to try and sway the young people from buying them. Has that worked? I don't think so. Cigarettes is another thing. They've hiked them up, but people are so addicted to smoking that they still go and buy it. It hasn't changed it at all. So I can't see why it's going to change it here. And I think I read that Denmark had put a fat tax on, and after a year they've abolished it because it had no impact whatsoever. And basically what it did was penalise the poorer people that could only afford those foods, and they were going hungry. So there's a whole range of other things that we need to look at. Educating people is a huge thing. Why don't we spend our money on putting a traffic light system on the food labelling? I'm really quite passionate about that. Food labelling is a huge one. And have you ever noticed on the packages on the food, they're in tiny 6-point font, so you can hardly read it. If you've got your glasses, you can't read it. And it's so confusing to people, unless you really know what you're looking for and you've got the time to stop in the supermarket and go, oh, hang on a minute, what's in this? And we don't, we're time poor people. you know, that's no good either. So if you had a basic traffic light list system, so red for go, this is an awesome food to eat, it's low in fat, it's low in sugar, it's low in salt, you just see that red dot and you go, great, I know this is a healthy option for me.
Yeah.
You know, orange, well, hey, you know, you can make better choices, and red, whoops, stop, hang on, alert, yeah. alert, you don't go for that food, it's really high in fat.
So if you did have a traffic light system there, do you think that there would be manufacturers that would, for example, at the moment they have a little heart foundation tick or something that they can, I believe they can buy that.
Yes, they can.
And you kind of think, well, hang on, a manufacturer is going to sort of buy their way out of having a red dot rather than a yellow dot and try and get around the system doing it that way, because they know that people are then going to understand that system. It's kind of very, it's a difficult situation, because who makes the final judgment?
Yeah, it would be very confronting for manufacturers, and they certainly wouldn't want to see red dots on their food, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it needs to be explored fully to find out how it's going to work. But I still think that if we need to shape the environment for people to make a change. So if the government is really concerned, and they should be, that 2/3 of Australian people are overweight or, you know, obese, which is just the problems that's going to cause. It's causing problems now. The problems it's going to cause down the track is just going to be unbelievable. So we need to shape the environment that's conducive to this change. And to do that, you know, we need to go into the supermarkets and look at what's happening there. And we need to talk to the manufacturers of food, and we need to come up with a solution of some sort.
So for what you're advocating there, the golden rule is just fresh is best.
Oh, yes. You know, I've always spoken about, you know, when you go shopping, go around the outside perimeters of the supermarket. Don't go into the bowels of the supermarket, because that's where all your packaged food is.
Okay.
Fresh is best. Unprocessed. The food that has got the least human intervention in it is the food that you should be going for.
Most people would then, as you said before, most people would grab that and say, well, okay, well, I've got to spend 45 minutes to get that piece of whatever, piece of fresh fruit, piece of whatever, into what I want it to do. Why can't I just go into a store and go, okay, well, I'm going to buy that, and it's going to save me 45 minutes and electricity and everything else, and I'm going to be done with it. I really don't care. How do you kind of get around that kind of thinking, though, you know?
I think a lot of people, as I said before, are time poor, and we go for the quickest, easiest option. But you know what? Cooking is quick and easy. I honestly think people have got in their heads that cooking is hard, and it's not. I can whip up a stir fry so quickly, even if I have to go and buy the pre-cut vegetables, which I don't do, but some people do. At least they're fresh vegetables. You just throw them into a fry pan with a bit of chopped meat and you've got a stir fry. So, you know, I don't believe that is an excuse for people to say, I don't have time to cook, because honestly, these days you can cook up meals that are so easy. Like breakfast, for example. People say, I don't have time for breakfast. It takes 30 seconds to cook an egg. In the microwave, scrambled, like less than 30 seconds for me to scramble an egg, one egg in a saucepan, which is what I do every morning. I have an egg and a bit of toast. My egg's done in less than 30 seconds and I'm out the door. Yeah. So I that's an excuse that I don't buy.
What's your favourite type of egg? Is it scrambled? Is it boiled? I've got to ask this, because I'm going to lead to another question here.
Oh, are you? Oh, here we go. You're going to put me on the spot.
Yeah, I am.
Well, my favourite is actually poached, but I don't poach, because I'm not very good at poaching.
Okay, all right. So, I didn't know, because you can do eggs so many different ways, and it's so wonderful to work with. I just love them. I didn't know what you did with your toast there. Did you put it underneath there? So many different
Rick,
ways.
Rick, where are you going with
no,
this?
No, that's okay. I was going to get onto soldiers, but I won't get onto soldiers.
Oh, yes, I love soldiers.
Oh, do you?
I do. I love my boiled egg with soldiers. And a bit of Vegemite on them too.
You're a Vegemite person.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a worry. Anyway, we'll take a break and come back with more on 99.7. 22 minutes before 8 o'clock on your Better Mix 99.7. This is the Saturday Lifestyle Show. You've got Rich here this morning. We're talking health and happiness. And Claire, I want to talk to you about, we spoke before about fast food and fat taxes and all those sort of things. Let's go to the other side of that. Let's flip that over and say, how are we going to change the world, for a better word, about eating right, going the other way and saying, well, you know, how can we change people's attitudes towards food? You might have seen it. Jamie Oliver's got a Ministry of Food, and there's, you know, Need for Feed and all these sort of ones going around. Good idea?
Great idea. I love Jamie Oliver's Ministry of Food. That is just a great initiative. And I think, as I said before, a lot of people are losing say losing the ability. I think a lot of people just don't cook anymore, yeah. Particularly Gen Y. A lot of Gen Y are not into cooking. It's too hard. It's easier and quicker just to go out and grab something on the way home, particularly if they live by themselves. People that live in units that don't have anything in their fridge because it's just easier to go out and buy the food. So I think we're losing, our younger generation is losing the know-how of how to cook. So Jamie Oliver's Ministry of Food is bringing back the basics of cooking. And did you ever see, I love his series that he did when he went into the school canteens.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That was amazing. And just seeing that some of those young kids didn't even know what broccoli was or, you know, what a carrot was even. That was just amazing to me to think that's how it is. And I think that happens here today, you know, that some kids wouldn't know what a squash was or what zucchini are. So Jamie's sort of bringing back the basics. And I know he's doing a fabulous job down in Ipswich.
Yeah, that. Absolutely is. Do you think that should be expanded? Do you think local governments should come on board there and expand that into other areas?
Yes, I think,
as you said, you've got Ipswich, but bring it right through Queens.
Oh, definitely. You know, instead of putting the fat tax on, let's put some money into, well, as I said, educating people on learning the basics of cooking. Because a lot of people don't do stuff out of fear because they don't know what's involved. And I think once you get to know what's involved and how to do it, the fear is taken away and you embrace it.
Do you think that, you know, not only Ministry of Food, but we can come up with our own sort of system in Australia, maybe where a government can set up a system that's similar to that or in conjunction with that and sort of, I don't know, put it into a school system rather than people having to voluntarily go towards it, but put it through schools, maybe high primary school sort of grades or something, 6, 7, around that sort of, and then sort of introduce them to them. Do you think that would work?
That would be fabulous, yes. I don't know if they still have it in schools today, but, you know, I did home economics. Yeah. I'm a bit out of touch with what's going on in schools today. Maybe it's an elective. I think it might even be an elective subject in high schools.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if you don't choose to take home economics, and they probably don't even call it that now, I'm really showing my age. But a lot of kids would then miss out on that opportunity to know how to cook. And if mum and dad are too busy at home because they're both working full time and they don't have chance to pass on those skills, then we've got a whole generation that's losing the skills to cook. So if we can bring it back into the schools, that would be great. I know there's a wonderful program out there called Need for Feed.
Okay.
And this program goes into schools and teaches school teachers how to pass on the cooking skills to kids and to cook healthy food. Yeah.
So if that was the case, then we sort of make a change. That's still going to take maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, maybe 40 years before those kids then become older and healthier. Governments are still going to have to come up with the money for the next 40 years to treat people that have not been through that. It's pretty tricky though, isn't it?
Oh, it's a really tricky situation. It's complex and there's no just, you know, one easy answer for that. It, you know, it needs a lot of consideration and talk and planning for that, for sure. You know, and I guess just digressing from that a little bit, I think workplaces also have a responsibility to their workers, and not in terms of cooking, but my first thought that comes to my mind is get rid of all the vending machines with all the crappy food in it. If you want to have your vending machines in there, at least put some healthy choices. Get rid of all of the soft drinks that are so high in sugar and the chips that are so high in salt and put healthy alternatives in there. There's so much that even just workplaces and corporations can do to try and shape the environment. Once again, it's making that environment conducive to healthy lifestyle. You know, for example, smokers get to go out and have a cigarette, outside of a morning and afternoon and probably other times. But what about people that sit down all day? Where's their opportunity to get up and go for a walk around the block for 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the afternoon? So, you know, in my workplace, we combine our 10-minute break in the morning and afternoon, and a group of us every afternoon at 2:30 go for a 20-minute walk around the block.
Oh, great. Oh, that sounds good.
So I just think there's more innovative ways that even organisations and workplaces, you know, can adopt in the workplace to shape that environment for a healthy lifestyle.
Surely if you look at, you know, the amount of productivity lost there by people going out and going for a walk for 20 minutes or whatever would then come back to you, because those guys are going to have less time off because they're going to be healthier.
Oh, absolutely. That's absolutely a no-brainer. There is no productivity lost. You know, I wouldn't even say it's productivity lost in that 20 minutes. It's productivity gained, because when the people come back from their afternoon walk, you are so much more efficient at your work. Your brain switched on. You've got some endorphins kicking in. You've got rid of your afternoon sleepies. You're ready to do, you know, blast that next couple of hours till home time. Once again, if you're walking and exercising, less sick days. You're also, if you've got a group of people that you walk with, you're bonding with your team and workers and creating relationships that won't normally happen. So the benefits of doing that are just amazing.
The last question I was going to ask you about that was the clear that you see in Australia that Australians idolise sporting heroes, now whether they be swimmers, cricketers, footballers, whatever. And you see that the healthy lifestyle that those people live. Why doesn't that translate into someone who's watching those sporting people and seeing how healthy they are and what they can achieve? Why doesn't that translate into the diet side of it? Because people can look at them and go, oh, you know, he's strong or she does this and that and everything else. So why doesn't that cross over that barrier?
Well, I think a lot of people don't even know what they eat. So I think people idolise sports stars because they love not the struggle, but they love looking at them and going, wow, look what they've achieved. So it's the success. So they're not necessarily looking at the process, how they got there. It's like, wow, they're up there, they're doing it, and, you know, I love sitting there cheering them on because my team's winning or that person is fit and strong, and I don't think they're actually looking at them going, oh, now I wonder what they eat and I wonder how much they exercise. I don't think that's the motivation. And to be quite honest, you probably wouldn't want people following their diets because being elite sports people, what they would eat would be so different, you know, particularly in quantities. So if we had people going, oh, I'm going to eat exactly what that footballer eats, we would have some very fat people because there's no way we would be doing the amount of exercise.
But what about taking those same sporting people and putting them into a program where they are standing up and saying, well, you know, fresh is best, all that sort of stuff, and not necessarily their diets, but saying, you know, this is how I got there by eating healthy foods.
That would certainly be beneficial. And I think when you've got a hero and you idolise people, then you're going to take to heart what they're saying. It's like, oh, wow, you know, so-and-so said that. I really trust and value what they say. So, wow, you know, yes, I will follow that. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's kind of
but
strange.
I don't know
why they don't do it.
No, I'm not sure. Maybe they just don't have the time or... I'm not sure why that would... You know, what the problem with that is.
Yeah, it's kind of something... Because a lot of young kids, for example, that we're talking about here, you know, coming through and getting bad habits, you know, could have all that changed by just a few words from, you know, someone that they idolise.
Yeah.
Surely. I mean, as kids, we both would have looked up as sporting heroes and said, yeah, I want to be like that.
Yeah, and I guess it too, it depends on, it's probably the sporty kids that look at the sporting heroes though. I would say that the kids that are not into sport wouldn't relate to those people. So maybe we're only looking at a minority of people there as well, so we probably need to get to a broader audience.
Anyway, that sounds like we've got some food for thought. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more. This is 99.7. 4 minutes before 8 o'clock on Your Better Mix 99.7. News, sport and weather coming your way very, very shortly in the Saturday Sports Cafe. We're going to finish up our health and happiness with Claire. Claire, you've got a big tip.
Yes, I'm doing a happiness tip this week.
And happiness
it's about gratitude. And this came to me because we've had some pretty awful things happen in the news this week. And I think people can get really down very easily, because I did. I started to think, oh my goodness, what sort of world do we live in? And I started to get really upset and depressed. And then I thought to myself, no, that's not doing me any good and it's not going to do anyone else any good. I need to come back to what's right in this world and what I can be grateful for.
Yeah.
And I practice gratitude all the time. And so my tip this week is try and be grateful. We've got so much to be grateful for in Australia. You know, the sunshine, the freedom. We've got
Absolutely.
No bombs going off outside. So my tip to everyone is every day this week, before you go to bed at night, come up with three things that you are grateful for you in your day, and that will help you to be proactive about your happiness and being positive, so you're not focusing so much on all the negative things.
That sounds like a great tip. Now, if anyone's got any questions or anything they want to email you, you do have an email address?
I do. It's hello@illumines.com.au.
and so they can get hold of you there. Claire, it's been great to talk to you again. You've got a busy day out exercising again?
I'm actually going to do something a bit different today. Okay, I'm off to do a Pilates class after this. I'm not going to run today.
Okay. Pilates. So with your training, you like to vary it a lot, do you?
All the time. Yeah, the body is so amazing. It gets used to the same thing all the time. So mix it up as much as you can.
So with Pilates, the idea is huff and puff. Is that right?
No. Pilates is not huff and puff. Okay. It's all about core strength training. So abdominal, getting into your deep abdominal muscles and making sure that that's really strong and also other parts of the body as well. So,
okay. Because I think I've seen some of those. They have exercise videos?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So you can get on there and do it together.
Yes.
Have you been practicing your breathing exercises from last week?
I have. I do that all the time. Stop every day during my work and breathe deeply.
So your fingers come apart
on
your stomach.
I'm glad you remembered that.
Absolutely.
Have you been practicing?
Absolutely. I've been doing it at least once a day. I'm a bloke. Can you imagine me doing that? Claire, you have a great week. Thank you for your time this morning. It's been great to catch up with you. And have a good week, and we'll catch you again next Saturday morning.
Great. I look forward to it.
Okay. Thanks, Claire. Bye.